Unveiling the secrets A-list copywriters use to make themselves and their clients millions. This is the Copywriters Podcast with your host, the world's greatest copywriting coach, David Garfinkel.
As a copywriter, as a marketer, when you talk about your product and the person you're talking to gives you that deer in the lights, headlights, head look.
So, let's start from the top.
Right. When you talk about your product and you get that deer in the headlights look from the person you're talking to, what gives? In the best of all worlds, it's simply that the prospect doesn't understand what you're saying. And it very much could be because you're the man or woman who knows too much. Mm-hmm. I'm talking about the curse of knowledge, right? When you've gotten all this expertise, which you needed in order to create the product, in order to write the product, write the copy, but you forgot to take that next step after you have all that expertise, that next step of simplifying and putting it into appealing marketing language so your prospect can instantly understand and appreciate the value of what you're offering. The curse of knowledge is real, but it's curable. We'll look at what it is and how to cure it on today's show, just after this exciting message from everyone who wants you to stay out of trouble. Copy is powerful. You're responsible for how you use what you hear in this podcast, and most of the time, common sense is all you need. But if you make extreme claims, and or if you're writing copy for offers in highly regulated industries like health, finance, and business opportunity, you may want to get a legal review after you write and before you start using your copy. My larger clients do this all the time. And we're even going to talk about somebody's legal review today. How about that? So this term curse of knowledge was first coined by three economists in 1989 to cover some very technical, academic, economics situations. 18 years later, in 2007, Chip and Dan Heath introduced the term curse of knowledge in a more general way to the marketing community in their excellent book, Made to Stick. So first, let's talk about what curse of knowledge is. The curse of knowledge is the ultimate paradox. As a marketer or founder, you spend endless hours honing your expertise on a product you plan to sell. But sharing that information at an expert level spells death to your sales. The problem with sharing what you absolutely need to know to be at the level you're at is this. The only person who will instantly get what you are saying or writing when you're talking at that level is someone who has as much knowledge and expertise as you do, which of course is next to nobody. Others won't understand. They'll be confused. And as the true saying goes, the confused mind does not buy. Mm-hmm. So I've just described what's known as the curse of knowledge. That is, the knowledge you need to have works against you when you're trying to use it to sell. And here's the problem. Solving the curse of knowledge can be a very annoying experience because it feels like you're going backwards. And that's exactly what it is. You're going backwards in time to before you knew what you know now on this particular product or service or offer or technology. But you need to be in that frame of mind in order to be able to communicate it simply in order to sell. So I got some lessons in curse of knowledge pretty early on. One of them was before I started writing copy. I was doing some freelance writing for Time Life Books for a kind of weird book. I was writing a couple of spreads in the book called Advanced Wiring. And this was about do-it-yourself electrical wiring in your own house. And I had written that one way to test whether an electrical outlet is good is just to plug a lamp into it to see if it would light up. And I remember my editor gave me a scathing lecture that put the fear in God of me and said there could be someone out there in the middle of the country who does that with a lamp that has a frayed wire in it, and you could start a fire and it could start in a house and could kill somebody. And I'll never forget it. It wasn't fun, but I did learn something. I thought, you've got to think beyond the Occam's razor. You know, you got to think beyond the simplest, most direct solution to what do you know that you would never do, but that the customer might not even think of, right, in that particular situation. Another example, after I'd become a copywriter, I got a gig editing a paid subscription old school newsletter called What's Working Online. This was in the late 90s. And I started out with one editor who was like the boss's daughter and pleasant to work with, and everything went really well. And then the boss sold the company, and I had this other editor. I was the editor of the newsletter, but he was my, you know, editor in chief. And he had worked on a communications tips newsletter called Briefings. And the thing, maybe it was Communications Briefings. And the thing about that newsletter is everything had to be in the form of an action step. What was the tip? What was the action step you should take as a result of this knowledge? And when I started reporting about new developments in internet marketing, which was very, very early, right? This is like, you know, 25 years ago, he would say, okay, so what action should the reader take? What tips can you give them? And as a copywriter, as the direct marketer, I knew, but I hadn't really thought to spell them out. And that was not fun, but again, very instructive, and it's helped me to this day. There are a couple, well, even before I get into that, Nathan, have you ever had any situations where you were like, oh, everybody knows that, and then you were made to realize, or you realized on your own, oh, no, everybody doesn't. I need to slow down and explain things.
Well, I'm going to first say thank you, because the book Made to Stick, when we first started working together, you recommended that to me. So I had advanced knowledge of the curse of knowledge early on in my career. But I have noticed doing things like a consumer awareness guide, where especially if you're working in an industry where people are kind of timid, they know they need the solution, but they're very confused about how it works or what the first steps are. Using a consumer awareness guide as a lead magnet that spells everything out. Yes, it's kind of new, it's kind of intimidating, it's kind of scary, but I'm going to walk you through step by step by step how to get from zero knowledge to confident and ready to pull the trigger. And keeping in mind the curse of knowledge while you put that piece together, always, always drastically increases sales. So not even just in the copy, but even in your lead magnets, even in your content, going through and addressing those, I know I need to pull the trigger, I know I need to do this, but I don't even know where to start. Well, here's a piece of content that lets you know step by step from where you're at to where you want to be. It's probably the most powerful tool that you can have in your belt as a copywriter.
Yeah, and this kind of gets into an interesting distinction. You know, you don't want to just educate because you want people to know stuff willy-nilly, but when you can educate them, as you're talking about, right, with the information that they need to have in order to feel confident to buy and use your product, that will increase sales. Okay, let's get into something else, which is a couple of areas where there are, you know, a couple of big industries, and a lot of them use copywriters. And I remember I had one client, he ended up doing really, really well, you know, started a business with, you know, one actual business partner, and then a lot of contractors. And as of last year, you know, they were close to $10 million with very little overhead. It was just which part was sales, which part was profit. It was a supplement business. But I remember when I was working with him before he really started to scale, even before he started the business, when he was still just freelancing, he was doing a lot of health supplements, and that's what his business is now. And he would kind of get fascinated with the metabolic processes that a supplement would engage or change or supplement or whatever. And it could get pretty dense. And what I told him is they don't want to go to science class. So you can be overcoming the curse of knowledge in the wrong way by giving people boring information that doesn't necessarily help them. I mean, it might help them understand in an abstract way, but it doesn't really help them protect themselves or understand the benefits or understand the product. Same thing with tech promotions, SaaS, and other kinds of technical offers. There's so much jargon and so many complex concepts. And I want to talk about the one company I think that has done a better job with this, Apple, later. But, you know, for every Apple, there's 100 worms. I don't know what to say. There are a lot of exceptions.
I think the point is, if you're trying to overcome the curse of knowledge, you want to give them the things that are going to make them feel empowered and not the things that are going to put them to sleep.
Yes. And you also, again, the confused mind does not buy. So you want to put it in a way that creates some certainty and confidence in what you're doing. So I think now we've pretty much described and established, you know, what the curse of knowledge is and what the dangers are. But Gene Schwartz has this wonderful 5 steps of market awareness. And I've broken that down in terms of curse of knowledge, in terms of what you have to worry about explaining so super clearly they can't miss it at each stage. So let's go through that, okay? These are 5 stages from unaware to most aware. And unaware means they don't know that the problem that your product solves exists. That is, they just... If you ask them about it, they might go, oh, yeah, that's right. But it's not something they're consciously aware of that they can articulate. And your own curse of knowledge is most dangerous here because your first job is not to describe the product clearly. Because you have that knowledge that they have a problem and you can't assume that they do when they're at this stage. Your first job is to raise awareness of the problem in the first place. And so you really have a double curse of knowledge with broadest unaware market. You know, first, the awareness of the problem, and secondly, the awareness of your product. But you can't go to the product until you get them aware of the problem. That's a really tough market to sell to profitably with direct response, because the cost of getting a ready customer in so many steps, it may cost too much to do it. Second step is, or the second stage of Eugene Schwartz's 5 stages is problem aware. And this is the point in time where your prospects know they have a problem, but they don't know how to solve it, or even that there is a product that solves the problem. And the prospect here will gravitate to the business that first does the best job describing the problem. They can't put it into words, prospects, mm-hmm. So the business does a really good job on that. You're going to possibly, you know, win that customer, and you need to get past the curse of knowledge to create that best description. You need to be able to, so much of the curse of knowledge means forgetting how you see it and, you know, stepping into the shoes, getting into the skin, actually seeing through the eyes of your customer.
In that stage, I heard Ray Edwards one time say, if you can describe the problem better than the prospect can describe it to themselves, you automatically gain a huge amount of trust.
Yeah, I totally agree. I mean, Ray's absolutely right about that. Okay, 3rd stage is solution aware. This is where the prospect knows what their problem is, and they know that solutions exist for their problem, but they haven't picked one yet. They're looking at different options, including yours. Curse of knowledge is a crucial thing to overcome here, because if you can't make them understand your solution from where they stand, you're out of the running. Okay. for product aware. So here they know about your product, and they also know about other products. So they know about your competitors that provide a similar solution. They haven't decided which one they're going to go for yet. Here, the task of overcoming the curse of knowledge is important because, all things being equal, the product they understand better is the product they're going to buy. And the best customers, the easiest to sell customers, are the most aware. They know you, they love you, they trust you, and they're loyal customers. The important thing here is to keep their loyalty by not overcomplicating anything in your copy, in your emails, in your follow-up, in any content that you give them, and offer them special deals when you can.
One kind of rule of thumb that I have when taking on a new client is I always start at number 5. Our first ad campaigns go to number 5. And then as we need to broaden, then step back to the product aware people. And then as we need to scale past that, then we start going after the solution aware people. And it's different messaging, but start with the low hanging fruit and then broaden your scope from there.
Yeah, that's such a great strategy. Thanks for sharing it. So one way to deal with the curse of knowledge, really across all levels of awareness, is a particular kind of story called a story about how someone made it work. And this is from my book, The Persuasion Story Code. And you can use this kind of story to answer this fear, which is, you know, not unusual, the fear that when you buy something, you won't be able to get it to work, the customer's fear, the prospect's fear of that. But in the course of explaining how someone got it to work, you're also overcoming the curse of knowledge, because by simply and plainly explaining how something works, you're automatically outside of the expert shorthand mode that is caused by the curse of knowledge in the first place. And the purpose of this kind of story is pretty straightforward, is to show how an ordinary person, perhaps a person like your prospect, someone who has no more talents or skills than your prospect, can successfully use something new and familiar. So this is the example I use in my book. It was written by Million Dollar Mike for a product called Target Focus Training, or TFT, which is a very simple self-defense based on an ancient Chinese martial art called San Tzu, but it's also based on some training they give to special ops type people in the U.S. military. But anyway, here's the story. It was in the form of a testimonial from a husband. He says, "I want to extend my heartfelt thank you for imparting your knowledge to me. A week ago, my girlfriend was at a bar with a couple of friends having a good time, and a predator chose her for a victim. He followed her to the bathroom and pushed her out a nearby exit, pinning her right arm behind her back. She was terrified, but what came immediately to her mind was a lighthearted conversation she and I had had a few days prior. She jokingly told me that if something happened to her, she'd punch them in the forehead. I laughed, but I showed her that she should never use her fist and instead use her forearm and aim for the neck and throat. She remembered during the attack what I told her and how to use her forearm. She swung with her left arm without looking, and thank God she connected perfectly right on the side of his neck. She ran back to the door and glanced behind her at the predator and saw him lying on the pavement, unconscious. She made it back home safely that night and told me the story, but next morning she remembered nothing at all. The man had slipped something in her drink. Just knowing that she could do something empowered her to act, and I'm so grateful that she did. She's a mother of 3, and thanks to you all at TFT, she will continue to be here for her children. Thank you." That's so much better than a technical description of TFT, don't you think?
Mm-hmm.
So I was talking with Million Dollar Mike last week, not about that story, but just about the curse of knowledge. And he said that on some of his science and finance-based promos, he uses AI to write a first draft of an explanation of a concept that is particularly difficult to explain. He added that the draft is usually pretty bad, but It gives them a starting point to improve it, and that's easier than just writing it from scratch. He told me he was using this new method on a biotech investing promo, and he was about to turn it into legal to get a review. We talked later, and he told me every AI-assisted curse of knowledge buster in the sales letter that Mike rewrote to the copywriter level passed muster in the legal review with flying colors. So that's not a bad way to defeat the curse of knowledge. And sometimes you can use AI to explain something to someone who's way different than you. I decided to try this myself. I asked AI Gemini to do this for Copywriters Podcast. Now, I was thinking of an employee at a large ad agency in London. And because the organization is so large, everyone there is specialized. Alistair, the ad agency employee, is an ES2, an emu specialist, second degree.
Oh my gosh, here we go.
His only job is to handle emus in insurance commercials where an emu wears a detective badge. Licensing fees, having a vet on site, compliance to PETA, all those kinds of things. He doesn't write, direct, edit, or otherwise produce the ads themselves. He doesn't even know what copywriting is. With that in mind, here's the prompt I gave to the AI. Please describe David Garfinkel's copywriting podcast to someone who has a general idea of what marketing is, but doesn't know anything about copywriting. Cover what topics it covers and why it would be valuable and interesting to someone like I just described. I held my breath, and in 4 microseconds, I saw the following. The Copywriters Podcast by David Garfinkel is a treasure trove for anyone interested in the power of words in marketing. It's a weekly show where David interviews successful copywriters and marketers. They share real-world stories and strategies. You don't need to be a copywriting expert to enjoy it. Episodes cover a wide range of topics, from writing compelling headlines to crafting persuasive sales pages. You'll learn about different styles of copywriting and the psychology behind what makes people click and buy. This podcast is valuable because it offers practical tips you can use right away. Even if you don't write copy yourself, understanding how it works will make you a more effective communicator and marketer. Each episode is packed with insights and inspiration, making it a fun and engaging way to learn. Mm. Wow, I thought that was pretty good. I didn't even pay Gemini to say that. Now, all right. For a complex technical topic, AI might not have done as well, but it's certainly worth a shot.
I'm surprised by how
big a breath. Yeah, I was too. I mean, the stuff I've seen, you know, I was thinking about that. If a copywriter is writing in the voice of a business owner, voice of an editor for a financial publication, voice of an inventor for a supplement, the copywriter is going to interview that person. They're probably going to read articles. They may talk to some other people. They'll transcribe the interview, notice the speech patterns and so forth. And they'll also notice their feeling when they were talking to that person. But when you say to an AI, write as the inventor of a supplement, you know, in a sales letter, the AI hasn't done all that. Not only that, there are parts of what you did the AI can't do. The AI is not going to interview the person. The AI is not going to be able to think of interesting follow-up questions because it's not talking to the person in the first place. The AI is not going to get the emotional tone of the person. So this is just my periodic reminder that actually expecting AI to write anything good is a really bad idea. All right. The best example of a company that has overcome curse of knowledge, and we previewed this before, is Apple. We talked about Steve Jobs and in the past how he used the phrase, 1,000 songs in your pocket to introduce the iPod. But that's just like a marketing slogan. Clarity and being easy to understand runs deep through their culture and their history, starting with the Macintosh, or Mac as it's now called. It was a friendly computer at a time when you had to be a bit of a programmer to really use a computer with a Microsoft operating system. And the Apple product launches at Moscone Center in San Francisco were and are unique in how the company makes new products exciting and, most important, easy to understand and easy to use. And of course, the iPhone changed everything. Babies can use iPhones. One researcher estimates 1.5 billion people around the world own iPhones. Yeah, literally, when I was working on this yesterday, I asked my girlfriend. She said she's seen a one-year-old know how to use an iPhone.
Okay.
I have...
Just real quick, this is not advice to give your one-year-old an iPhone, but other than that, continue.
Yeah, right. We don't suggest you do it. It could cause unknown problems, but it's just that easy to use. And, you know, personally, I have more Apple products than I can keep track of. Mm-hmm. I use them from the time I get up to the time I go to sleep. And I have a very low tolerance for things that are complicated to use.
Mm-hmm.
So as we wrap up, I just put together a real quick list of 10 ways to protect your copy from the curse of knowledge. Mm. It's sort of like a checklist. Number one, know your market. What language do they use and what language won't they understand? Two, use simple language. Find the simplest way to say it. Three, benefits instead of features. And this is really important because writing in benefits forces you to think about what the product does and what the effect or the result of that action is. Tell stories, especially visual stories. If they can see it in visual images, they have a much better chance of getting it. Five, get feedback. Show your copy to a prospect. Ask them what they don't understand. Even better, show it to a child, not a one-year-old, but maybe a 10-year-old. Ask them to circle the words they don't understand with a pencil. And number six, use analogies and metaphors. This is one of my all-time favorites. If a prospect can compare what you are talking about to something they already know, you're a good part of the way home. Seven, use visuals, photos, drawings, infographics. Don't use a lot, but use them to make hard-to-grasp subjects and ideas easier to understand. Eight, test. When people respond better, among other things, it means they understand better. Nine, this one's really important. Mm-hmm. Focus on solution. The most important thing about most products for most people is the problem that it solves. People are a lot more willing to get into the weeds later, if that's necessary, after they know what the problem it is that's going to solve for them.
Mm-hmm.
And use empathy. Imagine how your prospect is taking in your information and adjust it until it's zero effort, zero stress, zero confusion. And that's a lot to learn, but as I recommend my book, Persuasion Story Code, I can say that it's a way to use stories to break down the curse of knowledge. And we'll put the link in the show notes.
All right, I'm going to end the show with a recent story with one of my clients. They released a self-watering plant bucket system, and it's very complicated. Everybody's used to just top watering with a water container or a water jug, and we introduced a product that has a reservoir and has tubes and has buckets sitting in buckets, and it was very complicated and very revolutionary. And we brought the product to market, bought a whole bunch of pallets of the product, and they just sat in the warehouse because nobody could understand how it works. Then we shot a video showing how to put the system together and then showing how the system worked and put a quick call to action at the end. It was nothing more than, here, this is a complicated product. Let's just show you how it works, how to put it together. And then at the very end, if you want one, go here. And within 3 days, we sold out of all of the pallets of products that we were sitting on. And it was a testament to, you can have the greatest product in the world that solves the problem that people really want to solve, but unless you explain it to them, like you were saying, make them feel confident that it actually works and it'll work for them. And that's all it took. It wasn't a persuasive. It wasn't a background story about the person who invented it. It was just a simple, here's how to put it together and here's the science behind how it works in a real quick 3-minute video, and knocked it out of the park with it. So the curse of knowledge, something just as simple as an explainer video can that overcomes the curse of knowledge can turn around sales for you. So I love all the stuff that we talked about in this week's episode, and take it to heart and really realize this can be one of the things that makes a major impact on your sales.
Yeah, I love that story too. And you know, that's a perfect illustration, because I'm sure your client who's, you know, otherwise probably a very good business person and marketer even, said, well, everybody needs this. That should be obvious. That was his thinking, even if he didn't say it. And the first half may be true. Everybody did need it, but it wasn't obvious. And that's where the curse of knowledge came in. But once they saw how it worked and what it did, then it was obvious. And those are kind of the two pieces you need when you have an irresistible product. They need to understand why they need it. And sometimes you need to explain it in a much simpler way than you think you should have to.
Well, and just for a tiny bit of context, he had worked on building this thing over probably 4 or 5 years. And he was a plumber before he started this business. So he understood float valves and water levels and reservoirs and all of this stuff. And I was like, when I came on, I was like, dude, your buyer doesn't understand this stuff the way that you do. So getting clear on the fact that they don't understand it, whatever it is that you're selling, your prospect doesn't understand it as clearly as you do. And until they do, or until they get at least close to that point, you're going to have a huge hurdle to overcome. So I just love all the stuff we talked about today.
That's a great story. We should have opened it with that, but I like that you saved the best to last. That's really good too.
All right. So if you enjoyed this episode, take it from the AI. We've got a ton of other very valuable episodes over at copywriterspodcast.com. And if you want to get the show notes for this one, and we'll have a link to David's book, The Persuasion Story Code, in the show notes, also over at copywriterspodcast.com. And until next time, we will catch you later.
Catch you later. Hey, did you enjoy today's show? Want to help get it into the ears of more listeners? Be sure to subscribe, rate, and review on your favorite podcast app.
This is the Copy and Funnels Podcast Network.